Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
It's sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And as always, lads, a little ears warning here. You can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. So, question for you. How have you found your libido over the past year? Has it plummeted? Has it escalated? You're looking. To talk about this in more detail, I'm delighted to be joined by a bit of a celebrity sex therapist. Her name is Rachel Cook. She's on the line. How's it going, Mrs.?
How's it going, Jen? We're back on the riding.
Back on the riding. Thanks God we are. We all need a bit of help. But listen, before we get to the riding, you're all over the papers today.
Splashed around the place.
You're in the papers talking ahead of our slot today, which we're going to go into more detail, talking about libido. And I think there's a hunger for this type of chat because it's stuff that doesn't really get talked about an awful lot. But I mean, what did your family think of you being all over the papers?
Oh, they love it. They are always delighted. My dad always reminds me. He tells all his friends about the time that I said on air that he bought me a bottle of lube as a joke because of the show.
Brilliant. Well, listen, it's all about spreading a sex positive message. And I'm delighted to, you know, that we could see it in the papers today. And we do it on air every week, don't we? Every week.
We sure do.
Every week. Now, let's get to it. A lot of people are experiencing lower sex drive, I would imagine, in COVID times. Would I be right in saying that?
You are absolutely right in saying that. You know, I've seen, I would say almost no one has told me that they haven't seen a change in their sex drive. It seems that the majority of people have found it's gone down, but certainly some people have found it's gone up and some people have found it all over the place. But I don't think anyone so far has told me that it's been the same as it was before all this happened.
So why would it go up? Surely we're just all stressed and a ball of anxiety. Why would it be going up, Rachel? Who are these people?
Well, for some people, stress, you know, kind of stimulates a desire to relieve that through sex or through, you know, that could be also through exercise or various other things. But that, you know, actually sex is an amazing stress reliever. So for some people that, you know, they've had to kind of really get themselves to have sex more. And then, you know, usually the more you have sex, the more you want it. That tends to be the way people go, not always. So if you kind of get yourself there, then often you can kind of take off a bit. And then for some people, it's about escapism, you know, and distraction. So that can be, you know, a great thing to have as a kind of an outlet for, you know, all of the stress and uncertainty and, you know, all types of stress as well. You know, it's grief for some people about, you know, the life they could have been living, or if they've had people who've been sick or passed away. For other people, it's financial stress. It's all sorts of things, you know.
So let's talk about couples, because I suppose the problems you're seeing in your profession is when the libidos don't match.
Well, and this is the main problem that people actually come to me with. So I would say, you know, to this, you're never going to find a person who you have completely matched libido with anyway. Even if you somehow find someone who wants to have the same quantity of sex to you, you'll probably still find that the type of sex that they want, the time of day that they want it, is going to be different. So, you know, I think whenever people get really upset and distressed and thinking, God, you know, is this something that we will have to break up over this? You know, yes, okay, some people do choose to if there really is such a disparity in their sex drives. But that for most people, that's just absolutely normal, and it's about negotiating that and working out ways so that you can both feel you know, okay about it and satisfied, and bring in whatever you need to bring in order to make that work for you.
That's interesting you said negotiation is important here, because I would suspect that a lot of people would be like, well, I don't want to, or not, and this is how I feel. But negotiation is so important to have a healthy relationship. Yeah, sex-wise.
Absolutely vital. You know, I don't think you're going to be able to do without that, because unless you're negotiating, that generally means that one person is people-pleasing and sacrificing and either feeling resentful, or they are just seriously foregoing their own needs. Negotiation is just something that is going to be, you know, integral to most healthy relationships. And so talking about it and being able to sit down and sort of say, you know, really schedule this. It's not particularly sexy usually to begin with to do this, although often people do find they can lean into the anticipation over time of doing this. But sitting down and actually scheduling, like, when do we have time to do this? Figure out a day and a time that works for both of you. Actually put it in your calendar. You can still be flexible about exactly what, absolutely be flexible about what happens during that time. You know, what I'm seeing is more and more of us moving away from sex needing to be about penetration or, you know, penis and vagina, PIV sex. So, you know, you can have all types of sex together. It doesn't have to be penetration. Sometimes you might, for instance, just focus on one person. That could be oral sex, it could be manual sex, it could be masturbating together. You know, that this sort of thing can be a lovely way to still feel connected, intimate, to be getting that touch that we all need so much, and feeling good about yourselves.
Interesting. Okay, so what would you say to people whose libidos are absolutely on the floor at the moment? They're like, I'm so stressed out, I'm homeschooling, I'm too much on, I've no interest. How do they get back on that treadmill?
Well, first of all, check in to see with your partner, with both with yourself and your partner, is this actually a problem?
Okay, you know, interesting. That's a very interesting point.
Yeah, you don't have to be having sex. You know, I talk to lots of people who are very, very happy together and they're having sex very rarely, or for some people, not at all. You know, it's not something that has to be part of your relationship. Now, what you might do is if your sex drive has gone seriously down and you're with someone, you could check in with them and say, does this feel like a big problem at the moment? If they're saying, you know, it's not ideal, but, you know, I get it, you might decide to reevaluate in, you know, a month's time and see if that has really made a difference to your connection. Because realistically, we're talking about, you know, sex being a place where you can feel connected, you can relieve stress. You know, there's all sorts of functions from sex. It can, you know, boost your immune system. It gives you happy hormones most of the time, all these sorts of things. So I would say to people, sit down and decide, is it actually a problem? If it's not, keep doing what you're doing. If it is, then you've got to work out what is it that is the problem. You know, for many people, and I'm still seeing this as being especially mothers, you know, with kids at home, they're just so touched out from having kids hanging out with them all day that even if they sort of emotionally would like to have sex with their partner, they physically are so touched out and so exhausted that it makes it really hard to do that. So that needs to be, you know, a conversation around what you can do to create a bit of space and time, because again, so many couples are living together now, which they may have been living together before lockdown, of course, but most of us did not ever expect we would be spending this much time with someone in our lives, never mind, you know, just this year.
I just got a text in. I want to read to you. It says, Jen, will you ask Rachel about libido loss in menopause and taking HRT? I started menopause at 41. Menopause is not just for old women. I had it started very young. But how does it work with my libido? Should I do something?
Oh, you know, this is a whole area in itself, because we're seeing now the rise of people talking about perimenopause, you know, which is the period before full menopause, which for some people can come just a few months before. For some people, it's many years before. But for some people, perimenopause can start in their potentially even late 20s definitely 30s. So, you know, or here we're looking at, it sounds like 40s. But that, absolutely, that is very likely to impact, you know, that's partly the reason why people will go on hormone replacement. And really, I would say, you know, sitting down and working out, you know, is there still some kinds of sex that work for you? Is it more to do with, you know, for many people with vaginas, the issue is that it leads to less natural lubrication, less of the body's lubrication. So you basically just need to use more lube.
More.
That's
back
it.
With the lube. Here she is. We went months without talking about lube. Can we talk about single people for a second? Because it affects them as well. And the effects, their libidos, you know, is probably, you know, they can't see anybody, they can't date or whatever. But what can they do? If they want to keep that going and they're just feeling their libido's on the floor and they don't have a partner.
Yeah, you know, and this is, some people would say, well, why do you need a libido if you don't have a partner? But the thing is, of course, having a libido for many people makes you feel better. You can feel more alive. It makes you feel more energetic and present and all sorts of things. And, you know, it can be, you know, it's not like you only need a partner in order to feel sexual. So I would say, you know, solo sex, masturbation for sure, whether that's porn that you're accessing, it could be reading like erotic stories, it can be your own fantasies. And also there's the big option here, you know, because a lot of people have said to me, well, is it worth the risk of breaking rules to have, you know, casual sex? And I would say, like, well, do it, you know, do it digitally, do it via the internet, do videos, do you know, texting, sex texting, you know, this sort of sexting, do this instead of breaking the rules. And, you know, if you're worried about, because obviously many people are worried about their privacy and what might be done with this sort of thing, take the steps that you need to take. Look at the different platforms involved and the encryption, privacy there. You know, you could, for instance, if you're doing video stuff with people, just make sure that all of your head or face isn't in the video, or, you know, any particularly identifying details like tattoos or something like that. You can still sort of angle the video or find some way that you can still engage sexually without having to seriously put yourself at physical risk or emotional risk.
And just finally, because I remember we were talking about this, something similar before, and I was getting a lot of texts in from men saying, I have a much higher sex drive than my partner, and I, you know, and I feel she or he doesn't give to me enough. What would you say to those people who have the higher libidos? What can they do to, you know, get through, or what can they do if they have a partner who's not on the same level as them?
Oh, first off, same as people who are single, masturbate more. You can have a lovely time yourself. You can get your partner to still send you videos and, you know, pictures and things if you're partnered, and be able to still, you know, enjoy solo sex through that material and feel connected to your partner if you want to. And then also sit down and still schedule this, work out what activities that other your partner might be up for. You can also focus on non-sexual touch. You know, I think we talked about a long time ago, back when we started this, Jen, was about how, you know, for many men, they've been conditioned to not have many outlets for emotional connection besides sex, which is why I think it's been very skewed in how we view men's sexuality. You know, that we assume that they're always ready to go, they're always up for it. And first of all, that isn't the case anyway. But also, you know, the reason that that stereotype is there is partly because men have not been allowed to have other places to have connection. You know, for lots of women, they have, or certainly did before lockdown, you know, a lot more access to platonic touch through friends, you know, just sort of more emotional conversations. Now, obviously, this isn't the case for everyone, and it's not just split into men and women. This is, you know, applies to people of all genders.
Yeah.
But it is still sort of, you know, a general trend or gist, I suppose. And so, you know, that's have other kinds of connection with your partner, whatever your gender. It doesn't have to be only sexual. It can still be touch based without being sex. You know, that can be back rubs, you know, rubbing someone's hair if someone's into that, cuddling, hugs, holding hands, dancing together, you know, having a shower or bath together, massage, obviously, this sort of thing. And then you also have other forms of intimacy. You know, it could be telling each other about a passion that you have, about an interest or a hobby, or it can be, you know, doing sort of intellectual intimacy where you watch a film or a documentary and then discuss it together afterwards. That those are sorts of things that can lead you to feel a lot closer, and then might either satisfy that strong desire for sex so that you just don't feel it so urgently, or it might mean that your partner now feels more connected to you and is up for the sex.
I love having you on because you just normalise everything. So what I've got from this conversation is, if you want to have a rake of sex, that's okay. If you want to have no sex, that's okay. If you're kind of middle of the road and only want to have sex sometimes, that's okay as well. As long as it's okay with you and your partner, or just you, if you're by yourself, it's all okay.
It is all okay. One more thing I'd love to say to that, Jen, is about maintenance sex, because I don't know if we've talked about this before.
No, we haven't.
You know, I've had loads of people tell me, like, okay, well, is maintenance sex, you know, is it necessary for a healthy relationship, especially for the person with the lower sex drive? Is it good? Is it bad? You know, all of this. And I would say, you know, I really don't like the term because historically it has meant, again, people probably, I'm sure, well, I know this, for people of all genders for sure, but historically it has mostly applied to women, where there's been basically women agreeing to have sex with their partners, especially in the case of heterosexual relationships, agreeing to sex that they really did not want to have, you know, that they felt coerced by it, that they were, you know, didn't want to go through the stress of their partner being pissed off with them, or they felt guilty and feel like, you know, they didn't want to let their partner down. And I would say, absolutely do not have sex that you don't want to have. However, there are different types of desire. Some people have spontaneous desire, which is where, you know, they see someone they fancy, or they see a, you know, sexy picture, or they get reminded of someone by, it could be a smell or, you know, a certain sound or something like that, and they instantly feel, you know, pretty aroused, horny, turned on. For other people, they've much more responsive desire, which usually means that they have to already be engaged in some way in order to start feeling really into it. Now, again, some people will find that they have a mix of those two kinds of desire. But I think when it comes to maintenance sex, you know, if you recognize that you have more responsive desire, I would say still do not have sex that you really do not want to have. However, you might say to your partner, well, let's start by having a bit of kissing and cuddling and I'll see how I feel then, and accept that, you know, you absolutely might feel in a different place once you've had a bit, you know, you might get in the mood. Give that a shot. Not always, but sometimes. So, you know, that's the message. Don't have sex you don't want to have, but also, if you're finding that you're, you know, regularly turning it down, even though you know that it's important for your connection with your partner, then you might try having a kind of a stepped approach to, well, let's start with this and see how we feel.
Communicating with your partner and with yourself, I suppose, and asking yourself those questions first and foremost, you know, what does turn me on? Where are my desires? Do I want to have sex, or am I just doing it for the sake of it? All those questions we need to be asking ourselves and our partner. Really interesting stuff, Rachel. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. You'll be back next week to talk about more riding, whatever that is, whatever shape or form that is. And just to let our guys, our listener know, if you want Rachel to discuss anything in particular, please get in touch with the show, jen@rt.ie. Rachel Cook, I'll chat to you next week.
Keep safe.
Thanks. Bye. There we go. That's Rachel Cook. She's a psychotherapist, mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. If you want to give her a follow, she has some amazing stuff on her page and stories. She will be back next week. And like I said, get in touch if there's something we missed or you think there's something that we really need to discuss. There is nothing out of bounds. Just get in touch, like I said, jen@rt.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.